We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Rules are changing, and it's okay. Change is good. NIL is really a way for us to take advantage of these modern times, provide flexible opportunities for our student athletes, just like a regular student could do on campus, to have opportunities to monetize off their own name, image, and likeness.
It's kind of a dream come true to actually be a quarterback for him, to sit in meetings with him and be on the practice field with him and on the game field with him. Yeah, when you have a guy with that type of wisdom and experience, you really have no choice. You'd be an idiot not to listen to him and really do what he coaches you to do, which I think makes it a lot easier to play the position for him.
Some of these teams are desperate. They need a win. They need a quality win to really get in the NCAA discussion. And so they're coming at us, and they're going to come as hard. But that's going to make us better. If you can survive to get to the NCAA tournament, the conference prepares you for the NCAA tournament.
This is Blue Devil 360, the official podcast of Duke Athletics.
And off we go with Blue Devil 360 this year. Going to take you all around campus, get you caught up on so many busy stories across college athletics. And today we're going to visit with Robbie Church, the head coach of the women's soccer program, and also visit with Gunnar Holmberg, the starting quarterback for the Blue Devil football program. A little bit later on, John Roth is going to swing by and visit with Allison Miazga-Bedrick as we celebrate 50 years of varsity women's athletics here at Duke. She was a standout in the late 80s and a part of the class of 1991. A lot to get to, so welcome in. I am David Shoemate, and joining us on this journey all year long is going to be Duke Vice President and Director of Athletics, Nina King. Welcome in.
Thanks, David. Great to see you.
Excited to get going with this, and this is an interesting time of year, I always think. To me, there's two times a year. You have October into November, and then February into March. There's not much sleep involved, I would think, for you, but the overlap season that everybody talks about. It's championship season for the fall sports. The winter sports are just getting going, and you just kind of feel, I'm getting excited. The blood starts pumping.
Absolutely. There's a buzz around campus. There's a buzz around all of our teams. First and foremost, I can't believe how the year has flown, and we are already to the championship postseason opportunities for our fall sports. But it's a really exciting time, and we're competing. There's fans on campus. It's really fun around here.
We got a lot to get to, but one of the things we want to do when we get together is just kind of take a survey of the landscape, so to speak. So let's kind of take a look around. What has caught your eye here as we got the season underway? Feels like forever ago, but really just a couple of months.
Absolutely. Well, fall sports are off to a hot start. It's really exciting. Men's soccer, number 3 in the country, 9-1 start. John Kerr's got his squad 4-0 in the ACC for the first time since 1980. Really fun squad to watch there. And volleyball, also hot, 11-4, 2-2 in the league. They swept Virginia last weekend. And we're hosting a couple of ACC foes in Cameron this weekend.
Cross country also getting underway. Just got back from the battle in Beantown, where both the men's and women's programs took third on the women's women's side, it was a sophomore, Charlotte Tompkinson, leading the way, finished fifth in the 5K with a time of 17 minutes and 41 seconds. CJ Ambrosio, a graduate student, came home 11th in the men's event on the 8K course in a time of 24 minutes and 20 seconds. I'd be about an hour behind him, but
same.
That's why he's competing. And field hockey has been on a wild four-game road swing, but they're going to be in Chapel Hill on Friday night for an 8 o'clock start. Well, before we dive into our conversation, we're going to talk a lot about women's soccer coming up with Robbie Church, elite head coach leading that program, and football a little bit later on with Gunnar Holmberg. But you just got started. Relatively speaking, it's been a very busy summer. Simple question, probably not a simple answer. What have the last few months been like?
Sure, an absolute whirlwind. Just got started on my 14th year at Duke, actually. This is my 14th season, and but really just a month into this new VP AD role, and it's been a whirlwind, but a great one. It's been so much fun. You know, the transition's a little bit easier since I know the people and the place and our student athletes, but, you know, sitting in the chair for the first time presents a lot of challenges, and there is a lot going on here within Duke athletics, but college athletics in general as well. So it's been a fun summer of transition, and we're off and going.
There's obviously so many things administratively you have to keep track of, but I was struck right after the announcement, you went on this epic road trip to see a bunch of our teams in the spring. I guess a two-part question. One, what was that like? And two, how important is that to you to have the connection with the student athletes? Because I know there's a lot of other stuff that can take your time.
Absolutely. It was such a fun road trip. I think 6 cities in 7 days, something crazy like that. But it really was important and meaningful to me to get to be around our student athletes, watch them compete at the highest level. We were at NCAA Women's Golf Championship, Rowing Championship, Men's Lacrosse. I mean, so many, and ACC Baseball. But, you know, it's important to be there for the student athletes and the coaches to be able to support them in person. They notice when we're there and when we're not. And so for me to really hit the ground running right after my announcement and get out and spend some time with our student athletes. I mean, we sat in the hotel and would chat, pregame meals, those types of things. So it was fun to be around them. And then, like I said, watching them compete was a lot of fun.
There were a couple significant things on the horizon when you got started. Let's start with name, image, and likeness. It's something that's been talked about a lot across the NCAA landscape the last few years. It came to pass over the summer, and it feels like it's off to a pretty smooth start.
Yeah, absolutely. Name, image, and likeness. Sky didn't fall. Rules are changing, and it's okay. Change is good. You know, it's NIL is really a way for us to take advantage of these modern times and to move the NCAA, very long existing organization, into 2021 and provide flexible opportunities for our student athletes, just like a regular student could do on campus, to have opportunities to monetize off their own name, image, and likeness. We've seen some significant activity amongst our student athletes, some big deals, some not so big deals, and I think it's working out just the way that we thought it would. And so we're grateful for the opportunity for our kids.
That was expected. Maybe expected in the long run, but maybe on the short term was the fact that Mike Krzyzewski announced that this would be his 42nd and final season. And here we are about a week away from Countdown to Craziness. We've had fans back in Cameron for volleyball, but that'll be the first time for a basketball event in close to 19 months. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be loud. What are you most looking forward to?
Just the atmosphere. I mean, it is crazy and loud. It's going to be wild this whole year. I mean, we have such a great opportunity to celebrate Coach K and his legacy and everything he's done for not just Duke men's basketball, but Duke in general. And so we're going to celebrate, have a big party all year long. Really excited for our team and watching them compete. And Coach K and his staff are really kind of set on that and getting the team ready to go. And I just hope all the fans come out and really create that meaningful, fun game day atmosphere.
And for all of us at Green Cameron, we will all be wearing a mask, which is a slight reminder that we are still in the midst of a pandemic, but feels like we're turning a corner. And a lot of that is because of vaccinations and what's been done there. And Duke as a university community has instituted a vaccine mandate, not just for employees, but also for all the students on campus. Why do you think that's an important part of getting us out of this pandemic? And why has Duke been a leader on that front?
Vaccines are really important, as we've seen, watching us kind of all move through this pandemic and how critical it is to get to the other side of the pandemic. And Duke has really prided itself on being a leader in the medical space. And really, in Duke Athletics, we're happy for the opportunity to compete safely. And vaccines are really a part of that. And so the education around around it and really then getting the vaccine and potentially the booster. Now we're in third shot territory, is really important to creating a safe atmosphere, not just for our student athletes, but our coaches, staff, and fans.
It's interesting thinking about a little more than a summer ago when Dr. Cameron Wolf was an integral part of us even having the opportunity to compete last year. And now here we are starting to learn how to walk and chew gum, so to speak, to live with this awful virus, but also to find our way to navigate a way out of the pandemic. And we've got a lot to get to here today, so stay with us. Robbie Church is on deck. Well, it's always great to have Robbie Church with us. And, Coach, it's been a pretty spectacular start. First and foremost, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's always special. Well, I mean, you guys have me. I really enjoy it.
Well, Robbie, let's talk about your 21st year at Duke. How amazing. Take us a little bit through what about this place is so special.
Right. First of all, I can't believe we've been here 21 years. It's crazy. And, you know, everybody tells you, obviously, you should go forward. And they do say, and I think it's true, the older you get, the quicker things go and things have flown by. But no, you know, I grew up in Greensboro. My uncle was a Duke fan. And ever since I was 3 and 4 years old, he lived in North Wilkesboro. He would come down the road, pick me up, and bring me to Duke basketball and football games. And so I grew up just loving Duke and wanting to be in. At that time, I was the only Duke fan, I think, in our class in elementary through that. You know, that other school had a bunch of fans that we used to have to wrestle and fight some about a little bit. But it's, you know, it has always been my dream job. I was at Vanderbilt and loved that, and we loved the Nashville and stuff, but when Duke called, it was no question. My family's from Greensboro, my wife's family's from High Point, so coming back home, as we say, was a no-brainer, and the opportunity to come back and work at such a special place with such special people. I think that's what really makes it, is, you know, the relationships that you build over the years, the relationships you have with your staff, the relationships that you have with your players. You know, we just had alumni weekend, and we had about 30 of them back, and it was just fantastic. And, you know, I think the other special thing is you get to see what these young ladies do when they leave Duke, too. And I always say that to my friends, my colleagues, when you're out there. You know, it's great to have them there 4 years, but what our alumni do and what our former players do and the jobs they get, and it's just incredible. They're amazing, and I love to hear about them, and I love to keep in touch with them.
Yeah, and it's just so rewarding sometimes to know, you know, I had a little small impact on what they've gone out to go and do once
exactly.
they leave here.
And it is a small impact because they're pretty amazing themselves.
But
you know, it's just the quality of people all around, students, faculty, staffs, coaches, and I love the coaches that are here too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's look back a little bit on the game of women's soccer in general.
Yeah.
How has the game evolved over your time as a women's soccer coach?
Right.
And also, where do you think we're heading in this sport?
Yeah, you know, I think it doesn't take us long to go back. I think if we go back about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, the Carolina game. So, you know, during part of that Carolina game, and it was an epic battle from the beginning over there. But I stopped and I just looked around. And, you know, there was 5,300 people. There wasn't a seat to be found behind one of the goals. They had the student section, and it was eight deep there. And I just was like, oh, my gosh, wow. Because I remember when it was three people and a dog watching games. and to sit there and see how much it's grown. And, you know, we played at Carolina a number of years ago when they opened the field up, and it was sold out. And it was to honor Anson, naming for him. But this was to honor the product that was on the field, the two top five teams on the field too. So I think it's come a long ways. I think it's got unlimited potential. I think the growth of the people, the young ladies that are playing, the quality of the youth game is unbelievable. How good they are, how young they are. A lot of great coaches in the youth game that are developing players for the college coaches. I think we're only going to see it continue to get better and better, and I think we're going to see it continue to be, you know, it's an exciting game, so I think it appeals to a lot of people. It's a fast-paced game. It moves pretty quickly in a two-hour period there. So, you know, if we can score some goals, that will keep it going. But, you know, the goal we did score on that night was a spectacular goal. So I think it's in pretty good shape. Of course, there's been a number of things that's happened a little bit. But we like everything, we have work to do. But I think it's in pretty good shape, and I think the future, it's gonna be fun to kind of follow the future. And I think those 5,000, 8,000, 10,000 crowds are going to be hopefully something on norm very soon.
Absolutely.
Coach, I mentioned at the top the good start. I know coaches don't like to talk about rankings, but number four in the country, 8-1-1,
yep.
Unbeaten and untied in non-conference play for the first time in program history. What has led to the elite quality you guys have had so far?
You know, I think it's almost a continuation of what we had in the spring. You know, we just took a 2 month break. You know, it was we got to the final eight, got beat on penalty kicks by a great Florida State team. We played really well during the stretch, and then during the NCAA tournament, we played very, very well. And so, and then that, you know, we lost, but then we took the break and we came back. We were also older. We had three grad students come back for the first time, you know, and that was some roster management was interesting, and it still is interesting for the next couple of years. You know, Tess and Caitlin and Lily came back and provided not only leadership on the field, off the field leadership, but just experience with it too. And then the growth of our players. I really thought the sophomore class has really, really grown. Emmy Royson, Katie Groff, Maggie Graham, Gracie Watkins, that whole group has just, Nikki Chico, who just played a number of minutes the other day, they have really grown this year. So them developing, again, it's our staff, credit Kieran and Carla and Lane, a goalkeeper coach, of working and developing the players too. So I think with the combination of players getting better, and then players returning that were veteran players that, you know, returning with a purpose. They want to come and challenge for a national championship. They're not just here to return and play, and, you know, they're here with a purpose, and they've been great leaders. And then we have five seniors that have been great leaders. So it's been we've got a really, really good core leadership and accountability in our group. And again, obviously the staff has done a phenomenal job.
You talked a lot about the experience and the seniors, the super seniors, grad students.
Exactly.
But it's a freshman that's leading in goals. Tell us a little bit about Michelle Cooper. I mean, she was a really highly touted player coming in.
She's
gotten off to an incredibly fast start.
For sure. No, Michelle's she's done unbelievable. We knew Michelle was good. But, you know, when you recruit your players and they've committed to you, you still look at them when you're on the recruiting booth, but you're always recruiting the younger ones, you know. So you peek in for them for a half. Oh, she's doing well. Good. You know. You're glad you don't have buyer's remorse at that point. You move on, and then so you go. But we get a chance to see her play in California for a couple days. That kind of her age group was playing separate before the tournament started, and we got to see him. And we were like, wow, this is she went to IMG Academy for the last 2 years and really developed and did a really nice job there. And we knew she was going to be special, but she's actually even been better than we thought. You know, we knew she's fast, she's quick, she can get in behind defenders, which is something we haven't had in the last couple of years, is being able to stretch the defense out. A lot of people squeeze us because we like to possess the ball and then play up through the lines a little bit. So she's given us a threat to get in behind, but she also can play underneath defenders, and she's a goal scorer. And, you know, we all know in goal scoring games that you can't have too many of those. And she's just a goal scorer. And, you know, I think the one at Stanford was a second ball that got played back in. It just laid on the ground a minute, and she was first one to the ball. And she also, you know, the other thing is really unique about Michelle is that she really works so hard on the defensive end. And, you know, she's been out a few games, and we lost a little bit of intensity on our defense because of that. Once the ball's turned over, she's the first to put pressure on the ball. She stops the attack. She makes him go backwards or sideways and doesn't let him penetrate. So when you have one of your best players who will work hard on both ends of the field, on the offensive side and the defensive side, you have something really special. And she's very, you know, she's very humble and very likable within the team. The girls have really enjoyed it, and obviously the staff has, and we just hope she keeps scoring goals.
Well, I want to talk about the netminder. Well, we're very familiar with the Jones family here at Duke, and I remember talking to Daniel when he was a quarterback here for the football program about how Ruthie's always been the best athlete in the family. The save percentage has been extraordinary, .848 leading the ACC.
For sure.
Take us through what she's been like this year.
Yeah. And Ruthie is another, obviously, a huge reason. I think Ruthie has developed. I think she's one of the best goalkeepers in the country. You know, we've given up five goals, you know, this far. And the competition we played has been incredible. You know, and she has pulled us out. Especially, you know, you go back to the Carolina game. We had a couple breakdowns. They came at us hard. We knew they would, and that crowd, the enthusiasm, the momentum behind it. And she made two phenomenal saves early to keep the game 0-0. And then at that point, we started to get our legs a little bit and start to build and start to get more of the play. But, you know, if she hadn't made those two saves, and she knows she's a veteran. Last year, we tend to forget, last year was her first time around. We had, you know, Brooke Heinzen was very good for us the year before, and Ruthie didn't play a lot. She made Brooke better because how good she was. But last year was her first year around. She had a phenomenal year leading us to the final eight. But this year she is just definitely taking a step up. And her development, Lane's done a really nice job with her development. And so we are, you know, again, it's so nice to have that confidence. If you're a defender and you make a mistake, you go, okay, they still got to get by Ruthie. And that's not going to be easy to have. So she is just a kind of a blanket back there, a comforting blanket that we know that is always there. She's so steady. She's so consistent. She's always there, especially the big games. You know, you could see that competitiveness in it. I think it would have been fun to be in the Joneses' backyard some on holidays when they were all growing up on the basketball court, the football field they had out there, because she's sneaky competitive. She's, you know, doesn't say a bunch, but man, she is competitive, and I'm sure it was the most competitive and athletic with that group too.
Quite the athletic family for sure. Well, Robbie, you know, the ACC tournament gets started at the end of this month already. Crazy. My goodness, time is flying. You've started off with a lot of games on the road, and now we've got four of the last six conference games at home.
Right.
How important is that stretch as we kind of look ahead to the postseason?
Yeah. That's huge. That's huge. Because part of our goals as a team is we want to win. We want to win all the trophies. You know, we want to win the regular season. We want to win the ACC tournament. And we, of course, want to win the NCAA championship. So, you know, we start off a tough stretch. We had a couple people out during that stretch, and you know we went kind of 1-1-1, so we have a loss and a tie, so we need to run this table if we're going to play. Florida State is excellent right now, continue to bring a lot of players back from their run last year, so we need to win these games, and they're not easy because where we've taken our program is a lot of these teams that we're going to play in this stretch, we're kind of their golden ticket to the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. If they beat us, then they will have a quality win. For us, then it's a good win, but it just adds another one to our resume, which is good because this is what we have to learn. This is where we want to be. This is a neighborhood we want to live in. We have to learn how, when everybody, you know, is really circling you on the calendar and really putting all their energy and their efforts into playing against you. And some of these teams are desperate. We'll see that. They're going to be desperate. They need a win. They need a quality win to really get in the NCAA discussion. And so they're coming at us, and they're going to come as hard. But that's going to make us better. That's going to make us tougher. That's going to both physically and mentally tougher, and that's going to make us better so that once we get into the NCAA tournament, then we've seen everything there is out there. And that's a great thing about playing this conference. If you can survive to get to the NCAA tournament, the conference prepares you for the NCAA tournament. And that's why we've made a lot of deep runs into the NCAA tournament. Even though we were okay during the regular season, it's the ACC provided you that vehicle to make really, really deep runs.
NC State tonight, Pittsburgh on Sunday. Busy weekend, Coach. We appreciate the time.
Busy. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
A big weekend for the Blue Devils as they play host to Georgia Tech at Wallace Swade Stadium. It's the lone home game in the month of October, so why not bring in the starting quarterback for the Blue Devils and Gunnar Holmberg. Gunnar, thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Gunnar, so great to see you today. Let's talk about, I mean, this is your fourth year in the program, and the journey to being Duke starter hasn't always been straightforward. You've battled injuries, but you've also had the opportunity to learn from guys like Daniel Jones. Mm. How have the experiences you've had thus far shaped you to really appreciate the opportunity you have now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it means the world to me. Just the trust the coaches had in me, kind of being patient with me at times, like dealing with the injury. You know, being able to just kind of be a team guy around that time, not being on the field, but just be the best teammate I could be and kind of watch Quentin Harris, watch Daniel whenever I was a redshirt freshman and he was here, and learn from him just the way he carried himself, you know, on and off the field, the way he treated guys in the locker room, I think are things I try to replicate, you know, kind of as a leadership style. And then, you know, on the field, just kind of the way they play, the way, you know, growing up watching Duke football, seeing kind of the fearless way a Duke quarterback plays, it's kind of something I try to replicate here and there, my game, while also being smart. But yeah, I mean, just being able to kind of grow into a position to be comfortable enough to be a leader, I think is a real blessing in disguise, you know, that it took, you know, 4 years to really kind of get the job. But yeah, I mean, just the familiarity and the way I'm comfortable with the guys, I think is, you know, it goes a long way in the way I'm able to kind of just act around them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're doing a great job at it. Talk about you, Mateo, and Jake. You are all here on your official visit together. We saw a picture of the three of you going viral on social media earlier this season. But now you're each leading the team in your respective positions. How would you describe the relationship between you, Mateo, and Jake?
Yeah, I think think we're all really close, really good friends, you know, on the field, off the field, we're always hanging out. Something that started since we were all like juniors in high school, you know, when you kind of start to commit and the group chats kind of start to come together and everybody's there, and just trying to create, you know, a good recruiting class, you know, with good guys and, of course, good football players, which, you know, both those guys definitely are. And just kind of seeing them growing to leaders, I think, has been the coolest part for all of us. All coming in as younger guys. I think Teo and Jake definitely got to play a little earlier than I did. And, you know, all our journeys have been different, but we've always stayed really close to each other, pushed each other. I think we each have a lot of respect for each other, which is a good thing. You know, we can push each other whenever we feel like somebody's not really putting their best foot forward, and then nobody really takes it personal. Always kind of doing what's best for the team, but just, you know, it's always a lot more fun to go out in the field when it feels like, you know, they're your best friends.
You've worked with him for several years now, but what David Cutcliffe has done over the years in developing quarterbacks is incredibly well documented. A lot of guys would kill for the opportunity to learn from him. Not only to get to learn from him, you get to work with him. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty much the reason I came here was him, and just, you know, the way he treated my family in the recruiting world, and also just seeing, you know, his resume with quarterbacks, I think is something that speaks for itself. And yeah, I mean, coming in to like a quarterback camp when I was in sixth grade and being like, oh, this dude like knows a lot. The assistant coaches all know a lot. And just, you know, the way I respected everything he said and still do to this day. It's kind of a dream come true to actually be, you know, a quarterback for him, and to sit in meetings with him and be on the practice field with him and on the game field with him, and have him coach me up and just have a guy that, you know, you can trust every word he tells you, and want to take it to heart, you know, and just want to play well for him. I think is something that he does a good job of, in pushing us. And of course, you know, I think just, you know, when you have a guy with that type of wisdom and experience, you really have no choice. You'd be an idiot not to listen to him and really do what he coaches you to do, which I think makes it a lot easier to play the position for him.
Your connection to this university and the community began at a very young age. Tell us a little bit what the journey has been being recruited to play here, and now you get to start and play in front of family since they're local. Take us through the journey.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, whenever it was after my freshman year of JV, was when I really got my first letter from any college, and it was from Duke, and they invited me to a camp, and I came over and ran a really good 40 time. I think was the main thing. At that point, I was like, I don't even know, like 160, just a really skinny dude that could run and throw pretty well at that point. And I think they saw the potential, and continued to recruit me. Were really the only school talking to me for a little bit. Had a pretty good sophomore year, kind of reached other interests of other schools, but, you know, I knew I wanted to stay within the state of North Carolina. Just, I don't know, there was something different about being here, and especially, you know, growing up, being here, you know, with my dad getting treatment here when I was younger, and just kind of being familiar with the area, having a very deep respect for Duke University as a whole, and kind of just the name it stands for and its brand. And then, yeah, coming to camp a couple of times, coming to games, them being, I think, my second offer, and just committing before even my junior year of high school football, which is really early in a lot of people's minds, but just really knowing what I wanted from a school and kind of checking off every mark when it came to Duke. So that made it a lot easier for me. And to have my mom, you know, in Durham now and my sister really close, makes it a lot easier for them to come to games and to just kind of hang out whenever I kind of need to take a step back and just kind of relax with them. It makes my life a lot easier. You know, my mom will come over and do my laundry sometimes if it's like kind of getting a tough part of the week, so that's always easy too.
That's clutch.
Yeah, it's very, yeah. She's like, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, sure, like if you want to. But yeah, no, it's really cool. And then, you know, whenever family comes to town, they can just stay with them, and it just makes everything a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you mentioned your dad. Your name has a special connection to your dad. Let us know where your name came from.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just goes back to, you know, him being a Marine. I'm trying to think, there's a long story behind them being a Marine and just kind of being based in Hawaii and everything, and kind of the journey him and my mom took. But there was like a bet too, if I was over like 10 pounds, my name would have been like Magnus or something weird, because it was like my dad was really into like the world's strongest man at that point. That was like the guy's name. My mom was like, I want Gunner if it's under 10, and I was like 9.7 or something, so I was close. But yeah, it worked out, and I think, you know, being a quarterback, the name sounds really cool, so can't complain.
It does.
There,
it does.
Yeah,
I would assume there's pressure with that too, right? What's the Nerf game accuracy when you run around the house?
No, definitely, yeah, definitely a little bit, yeah. Everybody growing up always like, with that name, you can't play any other position. And I was like, well, I don't know. But yeah, here we are. So it worked out.
I'd say so. Averaging nearly 500 yards a game on offense, third in the ACC. Your completion percentage has been really good. what has allowed you guys to really just move up and down the field here early in the year?
Yeah, I think starting off with a good front, you know, Coach Fry has done a great job with that O-line. You know, having Jack Wollabaugh back goes a long way. You know, two younger guys playing tackle for us, but really talented players, guys that have a really, really bright future and can play football for a really long time. And then, you know, Jacob Monk and Big Mo playing right guard, two really good guys that have a pretty good experience playing in the ACC and playing for us. And then having guys like Mateo and Jordan Waters in the backfield, you know, Jake Bobo, Jalen Calhoun, Daryl Harding, Eli Pankle, and Jake Marwiti and them in the tight end room. Guys that really love the game of football and are having, you know, fun doing it. You know, with kind of a change in the OC room with Coach Ferris, and just kind of the respect other guys have for him, just the way we're kind of able to go out and just kind of relax and be comfortable with each other, and just play the game of football that we've played since we were kids, really, and just go out there and execute has really been our goal.
Well, as we mentioned, we've got a big game against Georgia Tech at home this weekend. So tell us, what are the points of emphasis as we look to improve to 4-0 at home?
Yeah, I think a lot of it now goes into preparation. Has been something Coach Cut has preached a lot to us, you know, kind of let your stress happen throughout the week of practice. And as you're kind of preparing, watching film, or being on the practice field, kind of going against the scout team and kind of knowing what looks you're going to get. So that way, when Saturday comes, you can kind of just play your game and have no stress and just go out there and play football. And I think every week it speaks for itself. Try and go out there and, you know, play physical, knowing in the ACC it's probably going to be a four-quarter game. Every team you play now are very talented, and teams that have a lot of pride kind of in what they do. But, yeah, I mean, just trust in kind of what you do and the preparation you've put in. I think allows you to go out there and play calm and just have fun.
Well, Gunnar, as always, it's great to visit with you. Appreciate you coming on. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Yep.
As part of Duke's celebration of 50 years of varsity women's athletics, we're visiting with alums from the various Blue Devil programs this year. And today we're pleased to speak with one of the all-stars from the field hockey program. Allison Miazga Bedrick, class of 1991, was one of Duke's first All-Americans in field hockey, a three-time All-ACC player, and the school's number two career goal scorer when she graduated. She joins us from New Jersey today, where she's a brand director for M&M's with the Mars Company. Allison, thanks a lot for taking a couple of moments to spend with us. I know it's been 30 years now since you were a Duke student athlete, but it seems like that was an important time in the program's development. I know during your senior year, Duke finished the year and ranked in one of the national polls for the first time at the conclusion of the season, and the ACC was coming along, and it wasn't going to be long before Duke was a regular NCAA tournament team. Did you have a sense when you were at Duke and playing with field hockey back then that you were helping the program take a big step forward at that time?
Yeah, I think, you know, we all did there. I think it was an incredible time. Coach Seiler really assembled a great group of people, of athletes. And I think every year we got better. And then, as you mentioned, my senior year, we were nationally ranked. And I think it really started with the individuals that were there. 30 years later, they're still my best friends. And I think what we built on that field, you know, was teamwork, leadership, and ultimately winning. And I think we definitely felt that. And it started obviously back even before me for people who, you know, started the program, but absolutely. And I see it continuing today. So I think we sensed it when we were there. We sensed we were on the verge of really, you know, breaking through.
Are there a few things you remember specifically about playing field hockey at Duke and being a Duke student athlete at that time, which basically was the late 1980s?
First and foremost, the people on the team and the culture. That is probably one of the most transformative moments in my life, where I probably grew the most as an individual. And even now, you know, leading a $2 billion brand, the leadership that I learned, the collaboration, the way to work with people, it really came from my career at Duke.
I know you grew up basically during the time when Title IX was becoming more influential and trying to create opportunities for women in sports. And I just wondered if you noticed that growing up and how influential sports was in your college decision, but also just in growing up at that particular time.
Yeah, I don't think I knew it when I was going through it. Obviously, looking back, definitely. Getting a scholarship to Duke changed my life. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be at Duke if I didn't get a scholarship. So I knew that was pretty special. Obviously, being an 18-year-old kid, I didn't really know the true impact of what it would have on my life. But I knew if I didn't get a scholarship, that opportunity wasn't afforded to me. You know, the trajectory of my life could have been very different. So it was absolutely very important. Academics was very important as well. And, you know, when you bring together Duke athletics and academics, it didn't get better. didn't get better than that. I remember going to my recruiting trip. My parents came and I went to a Duke basketball game, a men's game, and we were playing Georgia Tech and they were passing the Blue Devil around the stadium. And my parents were sitting up in the stands and they of course would have loved if I went closer to home, but they looked at each other and they said, this is where she's going. So it was definitely an impactful moment.
During that period of time when you were in your formative years, I guess, in athletics, were there any certain either teams or individuals that were like role models for you or that helped inspire you in the sporting realm?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think two people that I saw that I always inspired. One is Martina Navratilova. I always looked at her and she was a force. And back then, you know, that wasn't always accepted. So I always looked at that and I was definitely inspired by her, you know, the tenacity and her strength and athleticism, and she didn't hold back. So that was somebody I always looked up to. And then Pat Summitt, you know, from a women's basketball, just sort of seeing the greatness. You clearly look at Coach K today and the impact he's had. And I think Pat Summitt was just as equal. So having those two sort of inspirational women as somebody I was able to look up to, I think definitely impacted me.
Well, when you talk about greatness, you mentioned you're the senior brand director for M&M's, and I can't think of too many brands that people like more that bring a smile to more people's faces than M&M's. I think the company's the brand is now like 80 years old this year.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about what you do and your role as the brand director for M&M's.
First and foremost, we bring smiles to consumers' faces. Like, it doesn't get better than that. But I'm the senior brand director. I lead the, you know, from a marketing perspective, but cross-functionally, my team, we do all of the innovation, the communication, obviously the brand strategy, but it is such an iconic brand that touches consumers' lives, not only from a product perspective, but really from an entertainment. We have these iconic, beloved characters. And so pivoting from sports to business and trying to get that same sense of accomplishment, I've been able to do, and I've been able to find that as a lot of ex-athletes have. But you know, you say Duke and people kind of look up, you say M&M's and people kind of look up. And so again, it's these iconic brands that I have just been very blessed to be associated with.
How much of a challenge is it to try to maintain such a positive aura around a brand that's been around for so long and is so popular and you want to still be relevant?
Yeah, I mean, that is the challenge. The bar keeps getting higher and higher, and you're building on greatness. So I think there's something that is challenging about that. But then if you can think about the momentum that is behind this brand, both internally at Mars from an associate perspective, but also from our consumers, it is a huge wave that I am riding. Obviously, we always have to innovate. We always have to think differently. We always have to reach new consumers in new ways. But it's a great sort of core asset that we have to play with.
Amongst all the marketing and communication and product awareness that you've been involved with in 23 years, do you have like a favorite campaign you've been involved with related to Mars?
I would probably say back when I was on Snickers, I worked on the Snickers You're Not You Brady Bunch Super Bowl campaign with Danny Trejo and the Brady Bunch. And being a fan of Brady Bunch growing up, that was a lot of fun. Probably one that I'll always remember.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking out some time to share some insights from your Duke and professional career with us. And just as we let you go, any thoughts you might have on just how much it resonates or means to you to be a part of the fabric of 50 years of women's athletics at Duke?
Probably one of the most important parts of my life, aside from my family. I'll be honest, it's transformed who I am. And I think some of the best relationships I have are people that I met at Duke. So it is hugely important. And I'm super proud to be associated with Duke.
Well, thanks a lot for spending some time with us. Really appreciate
it. Great. Thank you, John. Take care.
And that's a wrap on this edition of Blue Devil 360. Of course, our thanks to Duke Vice President and Director of Athletics, Nina King, Robbie Church, Gunnar Holmberg, and Allison Miazga-Bedrick. For all of us here on the pod, I'm David Shumate. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you down the road.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.